Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and it is found on page 639 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and the glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about, and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and wealth, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Our epistle reading will come from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, and it is found on page 1018 of your Pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see that it is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 2, Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 12. That is found on page 835 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's just about over. The holiday season, I mean. Advent is over. Christmas is over. And I suspect that many of us are a little tired and ready to get back to normal, whatever normal might be. But before we take down the Christmas tree and pack away the decorations and settle into the dark days of January, there's one more special Sunday that is associated with the holiday season, and that Sunday is this Sunday. It's Epiphany Sunday. The season of Epiphany begins on January the 6th, which is the 12th day of Christmas that is often sung about. In many areas of the world, January 6th is even more important than December the 25th. So if you're still in a holiday mood and you are suffering from the post-Christmas blues, you'll be happy to know that in some places of the world, today is still Christmas. Epiphany, of course, is one of those church words like Advent and Lent that we don't use very often, and so we have to be reminded from time to time what it means. The word Epiphany means a sudden appearing or revelation or manifestation. We celebrate Epiphany every year in the church because of the sudden appearance of the star to the wise men that we read about in our gospel lesson this morning, alerting them to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Tradition, of course, has encrusted this familiar story of the wise men with all kinds of embellishments that are not necessarily found in the story itself. For instance, the wise men are often identified as kings, but there's nothing in the story that would identify them as such. What they are, of course, are magi. That's what the Greek word for wise men are. They are magi, are astrologers, people who studied and charted the heavens, and they were more than likely located in the area of ancient Babylon, which was the seat of ancient astronomical studies. Tradition also suggests that there were three wise men. But again, the text doesn't give us a number. There could have been three or 53. We simply do not know. The important thing to remember in this story is that these wise men see a star rising in the sky, and they know that the star portends something that they've been waiting for and longing for all of their lives. It portends the presence of the Christ child in our midst. And so they risk everything and embark upon a long journey so that they may be able to pay homage to this child. Perhaps you have had something that you've been waiting and longing for. Have you ever caught a vision of something? Have you ever seen something clearly for the first time? Something that maybe others around you can't see, but you can see clearly. And you know that things will never again be the same. You don't care how much it's going to disrupt your life. You don't care what kind of treasure that you have to expend on it. You don't care how long it's going to take you to get there. All you know is that you have to go follow it, because it's what you've been waiting for and longing for. Well, that's what these wise men see. They see this star of the Christ child, and they know that they have to follow it. Someone once said that it's possible to be wise but not be very smart. And maybe that characterizes the Magi in this text this morning. Perhaps they were so caught up in their books and their charts and their astrological calendars that they never had time to become savvy in the ways of the world. And so they do something that's not very smart. They go to Jerusalem looking for the newborn king of the Jews. Of course, that's the logical thing to do. If you're looking for a king of the Jews, Jerusalem was the capital of Judea, and so they go to Jerusalem, but the only problem is that there is already a king in Jerusalem, the king Herod, who was one of the shrewdest and most ruthless kings that ever lived. And when Herod gets word of what the wise men are looking for, we are told that he becomes afraid, and all of Jerusalem becomes afraid. It is a reminder to us that the presence of God in the world produces joy and thanksgiving in some people, but in others it produces fear and loathing, because they like things the way that they are. If you like things the way that they are, then the coming of God into the world is always a threat. And no one felt more threatened than Herod. He's one of the most paranoid kings that ever lived. He had his own wives murdered and some of his own sons murdered just to hold on to power. So we're not surprised that Herod is afraid. So it probably wasn't too smart for these wise men to go to King Herod looking for the king of the Jews. They had seen this star. And when you see the star, when you see God's light shining forth into the world, that's all you can see. It blinds you to everything else, and you don't care about being worldly smart. You don't care about being savvy. You don't care about the Herods of the world. All you care about is following the star of grace and truth, the star that leads you to Bethlehem at the foot of the babe to behold his glory and to worship him. That's the star that the wise men are seeking. The church has always celebrated the story of the Magi because it is a reminder that the good news is to be shared with everyone, including these pagan Gentiles, these wise men who have come from afar. It is a reminder that Jesus is not just the king of the Jews, that he doesn't belong to just one set of people. He doesn't just belong to the Jews. He doesn't just belong to us good Christians. He doesn't just belong to us Americans. But Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings of the whole world. And one day, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That is part of what Matthew wants us to see, that even pagan Gentiles will come to pay homage to the King of the Jews, the true King of the entire world. But Matthew also wants us to see something else. He wants us to see that these Gentiles, these outsiders, these pagans, these people who don't know the God of Israel, he wants us to see that they are the first ones to worship the Christ child. Not only are they the first ones to worship the Christ child, but they are the only ones who see his star. No one else can see it. Not even Jesus' own people can see the star. Even though they are the insiders, even though they have the prophets and the law, even though they have the promises, even though they are God's chosen people, they cannot see the star. The star is seen only by these pagans, these Gentiles, these astrologers who come from afar. They are the ones who are able to see God's star shining in the night. I've often wondered why the wise men are the only one, or were the only one, who are able to see the star. Why couldn't the people in Bethlehem have seen it? Why couldn't the people in Jerusalem have seen it? Where were the Israelites, the good Jews? Certainly, they should have been able to see the star. But maybe they were too busy in their lives to see it. Maybe they were so ensnared in the trappings of being religious that they had lost their vision. Or maybe they were so much involved in the day-to-day activities of their lives that they had simply lost their vision. That can happen, you know. We can become so embroiled that we lose sight of God's vision. We lose sight of God's light breaking into the world. We lose sight of God's star calling us out of ourselves and calling us to look for the Christ in our midst. So it's the outsiders, the wise men, the magi, who see this star. Part of the strangeness of the gospel narratives is that those who you think should be able to see, the insiders, the people who are in the know, the religious establishment, they are the ones who often cannot see. And the ones you think should not be able to see, the outsiders, the sinners, the outcast, they are the ones who often are able to capture the vision. They are the ones who are able to see. Maybe the vision comes only to those who know that they are far away. Maybe the star only appears to those who know that they don't have all the answers. Maybe it only appears to those who are willing to leave their comfort zones and embark upon a journey. Maybe the star only comes to people who are willing to give up everything in order to go follow and to worship this newborn baby. Maybe those are the only people who can see the star. Maybe those are the only people who can capture the vision. You and I today are at an interesting juncture. In many respects, we are the descendants of the Magi. We are Gentiles who have been engrafted into the story, the salvation story of God's people. But you and I are also the insiders. We are also people of the promise. We also have the prophets and the law and the word. We are the insiders. And so the question for you and for me this morning is, can we see the star? I believe that God's light is still shining in our world. I believe God's star is still there for all to see. And the question is, are we able to see it? Are we able to be called out of our comfort zones? Are we able to be called out of those places of busyness that often cloud our vision? Are we able to be called to embark upon a journey in which we would give up everything in order to go worship the Christ child? Are we able to see the star? Matthew reminds us that this baby belongs to the whole world. He is not limited to our understanding of who he ought to belong to. He's not limited to our conventional church understandings. He's not limited to our church creeds and doctrines. He's not limited to the people that we think he ought to be associated with, but he belongs to the whole world. He is the Lord of everyone. And that his vision, the God vision, is that he is the Lord of the entire world, and he calls us out to embrace people all over the world. He calls us out of ourselves and into a whole new vision, a whole new light, if we have the courage to follow. Epiphany is about seeing that vision. It's about seeing a whole new way of living. It's about seeing a whole new way of walking in the light. Epiphany reminds us that we are called for something else. We are called not for our own devices. We are called not to belong to ourselves. We are called not to belong to our communities. We are called not to belong to our families. We are called not to belong to our ethnic compositions. We are called not to belong to our nation. We are called not to belong to class, but we are called to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to belong to God. We are called to belong to the one who created this world. We are called to belong to the one who shines through even now. We are called to belong to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Epiphany asks us to see that vision, to capture that vision. I was reading something earlier this week. It's about Millard Fuller, who was one of the co-founders of Habitat for Humanity, who was a very successful businessman. But his wife, Linda, had left him, and he realized that his material wealth was not enough, that it couldn't hold the important things that he cared about together, his wife and his family. And so he traveled to New York to try to convince Linda to come back to him. But she was not convinced. Looking in from the outside, you would think they had the ideal life, the ideal marriage, they had wealth, they had everything that our society says that you need in order to be happy. But Millard Fuller notes that they were in a taxi right after Linda had left, and they had a very tearful conversation. And they went to Radio City Music Hall, and they showed the movie Never Too Late, and it was about a woman getting pregnant. And after it was too late, the message was that it's never too late to change anything. And he had a sensation, an epiphany, if you will, of light in that taxi. And he realized at that time that the things that he had given his life over to didn't really matter. What mattered was how he gave his life to God. And so out of the blue, in the midst of this epiphany, he told his wife, Linda, that they should give their money away and make themselves poor again and throw themselves on God's mercy. And he turned to Linda and said, I believe that God just gave me the idea to give all of our money away. And his wife said, let's do it. And from that time onward, they've been on a journey of building houses for the nation's impoverished populations. That's what an epiphany is all about. An epiphany is that appearing when we suddenly see God's light and God's vision. Do you see the star? Are you able to see the star this morning? Are you able to see the star at the beginning of this new year? Are you able to hear God and see God calling you out of your comfort zone, calling you out of the busyness of your ordinary lives, calling you to make a journey that you might not be sure where exactly it is that God wants to take you. All you know is that there's this star, this light, and it's calling you. Are you able to see that light this morning? Because if you're able to see it, it's the light of grace. It's the light of truth. It's the light of salvation. It's the light of healing. It's the light that can set us up on the path that God has called each and every one of us on, a path of love and peace and joy. Can you see the star? Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be your people. You have called us to follow you and to embark upon a new way of life. To some of us, that is good news. It is joy. To others of us, it is fearful. We're not quite sure we want your star to be in the sky. We're not quite sure we want to follow you. We're not quite sure what it means. We're not quite sure we want to give up the things that we have come to give ourselves over to and that have come to define our lives. We ask that on this Epiphany Sunday, that you help us to be able to see, that you clarify our vision, that you enhance our sensory apparatus, that you help us to be able to follow you, to follow into your kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.